Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four dynamic, wonderful, highly strung human beings who are going to play this game, and they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Julian Clary, and seated on my left, Graham Norton, and beside Graham, someone who's never played the game before, it's a great pleasure to welcome Terry Wogan. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we'll begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject here is the history of the world. A nice broad subject for starters. Give us some of your thoughts. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, it started on a Wednesday. On Thursday, God created kittens, lampposts and Jar Zed Gabor. It was a very busy afternoon for him. The history of the world, the history of life itself. If we look around, we can see that we've all evolved from a common form. Nicholas Parsons. He is the stencil for the rest of humankind. When we look at him, we realise all humanity has stemmed from that beautiful jacket.
Graham, challenge.
Repetition of stemmed.
Yes. You have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and you take over the subject. And there are 35 seconds available. The history of the world, starting now.
As a highly strung person, I find the history of the world very worrying. Bad things happen. Luckily, growing up in Ireland, they didn't teach us the history of the world because it didn't matter. We just studied the things that had occurred in our own homeland, in mostly...
Paul, challenge.
Sadly, hesitation.
Yes, it was a hesitation, yes. Right? So, Paul, you've got 16 seconds, and you've got a point, of course, for that. Correct challenge. You took back the subject, the history of the world, starting now.
Of course, no history of the world can be in any way accurate. They say that history is often written by the victors. The poor losers in any battle never give their account because, of course, they have been vanquished. So...
Julian, challenge.
Repetition of course...
Yes,
yeah.
Of course. You did say of course before.
Yeah.
So, Julian, well listened.
Oh, we need a Bakerloo line.
So, Julian, we're going to hear from you on the subject. And you've got 5 seconds. The history of the world, starting now.
The history of the world in 100 objects was a series on Radio 4 that I found.
Well, at the end of that round, Julian's got 2 points, because whoever's speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and Paul and Graham have got one. Terry's yet to score, but he's going to begin the next round for us. Terry, a subject I'm sure close to your heart, a limerick. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There was a young lady called Gloria.
Were you playing a record at that point?
That's what they call an artistic pause. Yeah.
I don't know whether you've ever heard the game before. That is the longest pause we've ever had.
Pausing was what I was famous for.
But Julian challenged you. He let you go for quite a long time.
I don't want the subject. I was just by way of chivving you along.
So you're going to be very generous and give it back to me.
I am, indeed.
All right. So, Terry, you've still got 55 seconds.
There was a young lady named Gloria.
Graham, you've challenged.
It was repetition, but he can have it back.
Listen,
I'm just pointing out you can't say Gloria
twice. You said you were going to be kind to me... No idea it was going to be this kind of kind. There was a young lady...
Now, wait a minute... Show, I would say you start now so we can start the stopwatch at the same time. So there are 54 seconds
so
available.
Many rules.
All right. The subject is Gloria. No, it isn't. It's.
It's limerick.
I think it's become Gloria. Anyway, Terry, you have 54 seconds. Your time, a limerick, time starts now.
I hate this bloody show.
Holy chance.
Well. you can't ignore it after a while. There was a pause. I'm quite prepared to have Terry have the subject back.
Well, look, Terry, we're going to give you one more chance. Because they've all given it back to you now, so it's equal.
I don't want your pity.
No, well, we'd like a few words from you, that's all.
There was a young lady.
No, wait. You have 50 seconds, a limerick, starting now.
There was a young lady named Gloria.
No, you can't do that.
But
you can't repeat Gloria.
It won't work. We can't use Gloria.
No.
You don't understand the rule.
Wait, I've got a solution. Mm. One of us says the first line, you give Terry the subject, he says the second line, and we're up and running.
Okay.
Look, you've all given it back to him once. This time, I'm going to take it away from him, because otherwise we'll never get the show going at all.
You swine.
So, Julian, you buzzed in then, and you've got 47 seconds, a limerick starting now.
There was a young lady from Ealing who had a peculiar feeling. She lay on her back. Now, the next bit I can't repeat. So you can fill in the gaps yourselves.
Terry, you challenge.
Cowardice.
Did you see Terry? He also hesitated, didn't he?
He did.
Right, well, they're well listened. You've got a point for that. You have 33 seconds. You take back a limerick. Don't tell us about Gloria, please. A limerick starting now.
I shall move to the second line. Who slept with Sir Gerald du Maurier? Jack Hilton, Jack Payne, Sir Gerald again, and the band of the Waldorf Astoria. I personally come from a little town of that name on the banks of the Shannon. I was born in 18 Elm Park, Ennis Road, in that town. And if you walk down O'Connell Street...
So, Terry Wogram was actually speaking then on the subject when the whistle went, going against that extra point. So, Terry, you've got 2 points now. Just behind Julian Clare. And Derek gave us a limerick in the show. This was a time, you know, 33 years ago at least, and, you know, you had to be a bit more circumspect. But his limerick went like this. A gay young man from Scoon took a lesbian up to his room. They sat on the bed, and then each of them said, now who does what and with which and to whom? But when Derek told it then 33 years ago, I mean, it was kept in and nobody cut it out, right. Julius, you had a correct challenge. No, it's your turn to begin. The subject is by My Name in Lights, Julian. 60 seconds starting now.
I suppose anyone in show business dreams of having their name in lights. It first happened to me in 1991 when I appeared at the Aldwych in a show called Camping on a Shoestring. Unfortunately, they spelt my name with an E. Well, I was furious. I phoned up the producer and I had what is generally known as a theatrical tantrum down the phone. And the next day, when I minced into work, it had been corrected. And there was my name in all its glory, correctly informing the public of where I was appearing. And I don't like the look you're giving me from my right. And if you kindly desist, I could continue.
Right, Terry, you press your buzzer. Well done. What was your challenge?
Mine is a subtle buzzer.
Yes.
My challenge was... I wasn't quite sure what he was talking about.
Well, no, but that's not one of the rules of just a minute.
I know, but I'm new here.
Yeah, I know. But you can only have hesitation, repetition...
Well, I think hesitation.
Yes, yeah, absolutely right. Well... So you have the subject now, My Name in Lights. You have 25 seconds and your time starts now.
Well, as the television series told us, fame costs. People think that because you're famous... that you can get a really good seat in a restaurant. This is entirely untrue, because most of the people...
Poor Jones.
Well, it's a hesitation, but they're getting shorter. Definitely real improvement happening. Definitely.
Well, you may have hesitated a lot, but you've said far more words than most people have in the show this time. Right. So, well done. Well done, Terry. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicholas.
Paul, correct challenge. You have... 10 seconds, My Name in Lights, starting now.
I've always wanted my name in lights, that's why I've changed it to the Post Office Tower. And if you look at the London skyline, you'll see it there blazing across the horizon like a beacon.
So, So Paul Mutton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's equal in the lead with Terry Wogan and Julian Clary, and Graham's just behind them, and Graham, we'd like you to begin the next round.
Oh, yes, go.
The subject is glued to the box. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The subject, glued to the box, is, I feel, a little direct. I might have preferred when practical jokes in cricket go tragically wrong. I think that's more subtle and less offensive to listeners around the world. As a highly strung person, I take these things very...
Terry Chalice.
That's the second time you've told us you're a highly strung person. That's repetition.
It was in another round, though.
But that was in another round.
You can't be expected to know all the rules.
He said highly strung in the other round, Terry, hasn't he, in this round?
Yes, I know that now.
Right, so it was an incorrect challenge, Graham. You have a point for that, and you have 40 seconds glued to the box, starting now.
I feel sorry for people born now, because, of course, they can't be glued to a box, for televisions are no longer boxes. They are mere flat screens. You would be glued to the thing. I don't know what it would be called. Another word, I can't say it again, because I have, but the main thing I feel I'm really trying to get at here, and I don't want to be swayed from my argument, is that...
Paul, you chance.
Hesitation.
Eventually, yes.
Yes, I think there was.
14 seconds are still available, Paul, and you have glued to the box starting now.
I saw a statistic the other day that says the average viewing time of Britain's...
Julian.
Does that come under hesitation?
It comes under hesitation, yes. So you have another point, and you have the subject. 8 seconds, glued to the box, starting now.
There's a marvellous programme on every day at 4 o'clock on Channel 4 where people open...
Paul Chalice.
Repetition of four.
Yes.
Shame, shame, shame.
Should I have kept quiet about that one?
Yes, it was 4 o'clock.
It was four, Channel 4, yes.
Yes, you got well, me there. Listen, Paul, yes. And you've got 4 seconds to go. And you've got the glued to the box, Paul, starting now.
Glued to the box. I spent my early years watching...
So Paul Mutton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has now taken the lead ahead of the other three. Paul, it's your turn to begin. So would you take this subject now? The dictionary. Tell us something about the dictionary, 60 seconds starting now.
I used a dictionary the other day. I heard the word antediluvian, and I thought I'd known that particular sentence or... Oh, God.
Julian, yes.
Hesitation dear, again.
Yes. Dreadful. So 52 seconds, Julian. The dictionary starting now.
Every desk should have a dictionary placed on it, and you can flick through and discover new and exciting words. Obfuscated, I inquired the other day, means generally...
Paul.
It's hesitation.
Yes, it was. So you've got the dictionary back again, and you have 42 seconds starting now.
It means old-fashioned, or indeed before the flood. And I had no idea that it was as amusing as that. So if you look up various words in, say, the Oxford English Dictionary, or indeed Webster's, a marvellous dictionary, that one, because it's sold mainly to people who are illiterate, and they have got very low standards, and so it's very cheap to buy. There are no letters, for example, listed under B. There are just simple A, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Terry, you've challenged.
Deviation.
Yes, definitely deviation. Because if you, in Webster's dictionary, there are Bs.
I know. And that was nonsense. Why I was allowed to go on for as long as I did.
Terry spotted it immediately, didn't you, Terry?
Yeah.
Right.
And, I did. Unfortunately, I've forgotten the subject.
We'll give you the subject before you begin.
Bless you.
You've got another point for that, Terry. You have 10 seconds. The dictionary, starting now.
The dictionary is merely a selection of words that are identified, conjugated, parsed, and selected for the...
So Terry Wogan was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal with Julian Clary in second place, and they're all three of them just ahead of Graham Norton. Terry, it's your turn to begin. Oh, the subject, a great catch. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
A great catch can be translated in two ways. It can relate to the fishing, or it can be, in my case, a personal thing. For I was known as a great catch. In Ireland, my wife, when we became affianced, was known as the luckiest woman in Ireland.
Julian Jones.
Repetition of Ireland.
You mentioned Ireland before.
Damn.
And yes. And Julian, collect challenge, so you have another point. You have 41 seconds, a great catch, starting now.
I've been a very keen sea fisherman since about the age of 13, when I would teeter on the clifftop with my rod in my hand and reel in whatever I found. Ooh, what a whopper, my friend Hector used to declare. And indeed, I had a gift. The biggest catch I ever achieved was 10 pounds and 12 inches. It hangs as we speak above my mantelpiece and is the envy of everyone who sees it. Occasionally, when I'm spring cleaning, I put it out on the front lawn for a bit of an airing, and all who walk by gasp in admiration. So there we have it. I have been keen on all kinds of...
So, Julian took the subject with great aplomb and panache. And, Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. We could be apropos the last round. A voyage of discovery. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I'd love to go on a voyage of discovery. Unfortunately, they don't have ensuite facilities on the kind of ships that might take you to these far-flung places. So instead, I'm interpreting this subject as every time I leave the house, it's a voyage of discovery. Little did I think this morning, as I set out about my ways, that Terry Wogan would be waiting for me round about 7:30 of an evening. "Hi there," I declared. He gave me a bit of an adventure. And
Paul Challis.
There was a slight hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation, yes. So we give it to you, Paul, and 32 seconds available. A voyage of discovery starting now.
I remember watching television when I was younger and seeing the film Jason and the Argonauts with particular... Oh, God, what's the name?
Anyway,
my radio career in a complete tailspin.
Graham got in first. What was your challenge, Graham?
Hesitation.
That's right.
Hesitation.
A voyage of discovery is with you now, Graham, and you have 27 seconds available starting now.
When I was a waiter in this great city of London, most evenings involved a voyage of discovery, as I would fall asleep on the night bus and wake up in various spots in the environs. Sometimes I would go past places twice.
Julian Chance.
Repetition of places.
You went to places, yes.
Did I really?
I heard and hear that.
No, I'm sure I did. Yes.
Well, I'm afraid you did say it.
I will go to the audience BBC too, Listen Again it? Feature. Mm. There will be letters.
Julian, 9 seconds for you. A voyage of discovery, starting now.
I do believe in a former life I was deported for stealing a bag of oranges and I ended up on this ship on my way to Australia.
Graham Challenge.
This is nonsense.
You don't believe he went on a ship?
A deviation.
In a previous life.
Where were the oranges? Why are you stealing oranges? Who'd steal an orange?
I was living in Spain at the time.
They're everywhere. Why would you steal them?
I was called Jose.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt, because you did establish it was in another life. So you've got 2 seconds, Julian. A voyage of discovery starting now.
I had to share a bunk bed with...
So, Julian Clary was then speaking to Whistle Wend, gained that extra point, and is now taking the lead ahead of Paul Merton, Terry Wogan, and Graham Norton in that order. Graham, it's your turn to begin. We'd like to take the subject of how I'd like to be remembered. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I would like to be remembered as the man who finally got the British space programme off the ground and cured all known diseases. Sadly.
Paul.
Hesitation.
So Paul, correct challenge. How I'd like to be remembered. 50 seconds starting now.
Unlike my previous 3 attempts, I'd like to be remembered as somebody that could occasionally play just a minute and obey the rules of hesitation, repetition and deviation and be able to utter a sentence followed by another one until the 60 seconds has elapsed. That, for me, would be something I could take to my grave, happy in the knowledge that I was able to speak at last fluently.
Graham Challenge.
Now, is this picky? Repetition of Abel.
Ooh. Right at
is
the
that too bad? Am I being horrible? Is that vile?
No, very clever, very clever. So, 28 seconds. How I'd like to be remembered, starting now.
How I'd like to be remembered in the long term is not at all. In the short term, as...
I'm an idiot.
That was Haikari.
Yeah.
Yes, well... Anyway, Paul, you've got it back.
Repetition of term.
Yes, we know that. Right, 23 seconds. How I'd like to be remembered, Paul, starting now.
They could occasionally look at my CV, I suppose. I started in 1987 in a show that I did for Channel 4. Then Whose Line Is It Anyway? Followed by Have I Got News For You? Room 10.
Julian Jones.
Hesitation.
No, he paused so that he wouldn't say one again.
Yeah, I was thinking
about
it.
He paused, but it wasn't enough. I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul on this occasion. No, you didn't fully hesitate, Paul. You have 11 seconds. How I'd like to be remembered, starting now.
As a national hunt jockey from Uruguay. I think this is very unlikely, so I won't be remembered as that person. But if I was given a choice, I would say to the great British public here tonight, when I'm gone, remember me in your hearts as the man who had a whistle and...
So Paul Merton, with points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has leapt forward into the lead again, ahead of Julian Clary, just 2 points in difference, then Terry Wogan, and then Graham Norton in that order. And Paul, we're back with you to begin, and the subject now is Charles Dickens.
Duke.
Tell us something about Charles Dickens in this game, starting now.
Sorry,
I should explain to
our... confused. We'll shut up.
That's all right. Well, what was your confusion?
It doesn't matter.
I should explain to our listeners, Terry and Graham are having little chats amongst themselves on the left-hand side of
honestly,
the...
Honestly, you're like Quelch.
You Quelch?
Billy Bunter's headmaster.
Oh, right. I thought it was an Irish word for belch or something.
Don't start poking fun at the Irish.
Otherwise, Terry and I will plot and this table will become independent.
And possibly divided.
Now we're going to get back to just a minute with Paul Merton, and the subject is Charles Dickens. Paul, 60 seconds, starting now.
Charles Dickens was a born storyteller. By that, I don't mean that he emerged from the womb saying, as the grey clouds of mist descended on London town towards the house of Gregory Trimwicket, the big fog that had evaded the society that he knew as large...
It was the first draft.
Well, I'd call it deviation, veering away from nothing that Charles Dickens ever wrote to general what comes under the heading of mumbo-jumbo.
I got the impression he was trying to use sort of Dickensian language to create a mood.
Yeah.
Oh, you're being very unkind to me today.
Oh, I gave Paul the benefit of the doubt last time. You can have the benefit of the doubt this time. 43 seconds, Julian, on Charles Dickens, starting now.
Charles Dickens was prolific. There was no...
I thought he was British. Deviation. He wasn't prolific, whatever that word was. I was interrupted for that.
No. Paul, we'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. But he wasn't actually deviating, so he gets a point for being interrupted, Julian, and you carry on with... 40 seconds to go on Charles Dickens, starting now.
Not far from where we are all sitting at this very moment is a road, and in that road...
Graham.
Hesitation.
Yes. 35 seconds. Charles Dickens with you, Graham, starting now.
Charles Dickens, as well as being a novelist, was also the host of the popular panel game What the Dickens? Celebrity panelists...
Terry
Challenge.
No, I hadn't.
Well, your light came on.
I can't help the glimmer. It's called star quality. I never touched it. Never touched it.
And you've got 27 seconds to go on Charles Dickens. Graham, starting now.
Teams would guess what Victorian urchin children were suffering from. It was a sort of X factor for disease, if you can imagine such a thing.
Terry Challenge.
This is mumbo jumbo.
It's certainly deviating from what Charles Dickens did. He never did a show called What the Dickens. They didn't have those sort of shows in Dickens'
time. Bless you for pointing that out.
Terry, you've got back in again with 19 seconds to go. Charles Dickens starting now.
If Charles Dickens had been alive today, he would, in fact, be doing a quiz show called What the Dickens?
Graham's challenge.
Therefore, I wasn't speaking mumbo-jumbo at all.
Now, the difference is, Graham, you said he did do a programme when he was alive. So Terry has another point, and he has 10 seconds. He has Charles Dickens starting now.
Charles Dickens is one of my favourite authors. David Copperfield. Great Expectations.
The list goes on.
No, unfortunately, the list didn't go on.
It might have, if given half a chance.
I think I know the challenge.
It was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
Why does everybody have such a fast mouth in this show? On Radio 2, we were much more stately. Hmm. Radio 4 is a hooligans network.
Have you heard that show Up You and Yours?
And Poetry Please.
Yes. Oh.
We have there was a young lady named Gloria.
We never did hear what happened to her, did we?
Paul, you got him with 1 second to go.
Oh, blimey.
Yes. Charles Dickens, starting now.
Great Expectations!
Because yeah. We've had so much fun and we've laughed so much, a lot of which has been generated by you, Terry, which means a joy having you as a...
You're patronising me again.
No, we're just saying what fun you brought to the show as a newcomer, first time.
It's been exciting and it's been demeaning.
And it's been exhilarating.
Isn't that the best?
And it's also been exhilarating. Let me give you the final situation. Graham Norton, you were just alongside Terry in third place.
Oh, okay.
Just ahead of you in second place was Julian Clary, but out in the lead, 2 points ahead of Julian, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week.
Oh, God.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. And then it means to say thank you to these four fine and delightful and wonderful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Graham Norton and Terry Wogan. And also we thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately. I am very grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing and fantastic game. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah.